All right, happy Friday. Glad that you're with us. I'm glad you're all with us. I am super glad. I mean, I'm pumped that Dave Spano, the CEO of Annex Wealth Management, is with us on this Friday afternoon. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers as the lead-in. Nice job.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
The S&P 500, the NASDAQ notched their fourth straight day of gains. You know, not the biggest gains, but they're gains. And things were in the green. What happened for most of this week?
Well, we had another interesting week, of course. And, you know, we get so much news coming at us all week long that it's hard for the market to digest a lot of it because it's like drinking from a fire hose. But we really ended the week on a really good note. We saw some good news from the BLS unemployment report. This is now their third revision of that number, and it looks like we're still in good shape. You know, there's a lot of talk about what's going to happen with the unemployment numbers, John, and they're just swimming along. And just, you know, everyone thought that AI was going to either take a lot of jobs or create a lot of opportunities, and so far it's a big nothing burger, and so the market continues to digest this news as we go into the end of the year.
Dave, how often should we look at our 401k? Or how often do you look at it? I just looked at it today.
Well, you probably shouldn't make it a big habit of doing that on a daily basis. It really is part of your current planning. And so, you know, you can watch as the market goes up and down. But there's really not much that you're going to do to change your allocations inside your 401k plan. Too often, you know, maybe review it on a quarterly basis and see if there's some macro changes that you want to do. But I wouldn't get obsessed at the ups and downs on a daily basis.
So, Dave, I look at mine once a month. It's when Annex sends me my paper copies. And by the way, thank you for letting me still get the paper copies. I appreciate that. Yeah. And so I look at it once a month when you guys send it to me and it comes in the mail. I trust that you're kind of monitoring things and looking through things. And we hear the term fee-only fiduciary a lot, and it means a lot. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, so first of all, when you look at those statements, it's really part of a bigger plan. How does that fit into your overall financial health? So that's the first part of that question. The second part is the term fee-only fiduciary does indeed have meaning. So the fiduciary part is something like a lawyer or accountant would do, where they always have to put the best interest of the clients first. And you had just seen that is table stakes. That's something that's obvious. But this is a written obligation that most RIAs do. They give you this obligation to make sure that the client's interests always come first, and they put that in writing. The second part of that, the fee only, is an interesting perspective because there are some advisors who can act as a fiduciary and then take their hat off and become a salesperson. And that happens more often than you would think, guys. And so that's the reason why when we try to discern, we say make sure whomever it is, it doesn't have to be Annex Wealth Management, but that you are using a fee-only fiduciary.
And that is Annex, fee-only fiduciary all the time. Fed rate decision is expected next week. Did the market react at all to that today? Is it seeming like a rate cut is more certain?
Yeah, it's next to certain. It's been interesting, though, because, you know, if you look at the betting odds, and there's this thing called the poly markets, and it was down to only a 40% chance just a few weeks ago. Today, John, it is all the way up to 94%. And so that is almost a certainty that you will see that rate cut next week. And, of course, the Federal Reserve has these two jobs, this dual mandate. One is to fight inflation, which still exists, and the second is to make sure that we are fully employed as an economy. And so they're in a tough position right now because they're trying to do both. And so they're putting more of their interest on the jobs market than the inflation number. And so it's next to a certainty that you will see a rate cut in December. And then what we like to see is, what do they say afterwards? What is the report afterwards? And do they become more dovish? In other words, are they going to cut more in 2026, and that is the anticipated outcome.
Interesting. John was talking about Santa Claus rally. What is that, and do you think that will happen?
Well, of course we all believe in Santa Claus, right?
Right.
Some of us are going to get coal, you know. And by the way, you know, Julia, tomorrow is Saint Dominic, so you're going to have to make sure that you put your shoes out. I'm sorry, and so put your shoes out, St. Nicholas, I should say, so you don't get presents tomorrow.
That's right.
So anyways, yeah, so the Santa Claus rally is something that has been around for a while, and really what happens as you get into the end of the year, sometimes you get a rally into the year to the year end. And, you know, we call it a Santa Claus rally in the investment business, but it really is for some really good reasons. One, investor optimism really picks up as you go into the end of the year. People get to see their families. They get to celebrate. And so optimism does pick up. And then you see things like year-end bonuses start to come in. And so people start to put that money to work. But there's a number of reasons why that happens that is really based upon some economic things like institutional trading and window dressing and pension funding. So we sometimes do see a Santa Claus rally or a rally that goes into the end of the year.
What are you feeling this year? Will Santa Claus come to the markets?
Yeah, I think so, because you look, John, at really the good news that is coming to us, and there is a bunch of it that is a really good opportunities. One is, of course, the big, beautiful bill. There is a bunch of stuff in there that is going to kick in 2026. You saw a lot about the Trump accounts, and we'll have to get to that another time. But lowering of the interest rates, when you have a market performance like we did again this year, third year in a row, people have what's called the wealth effect. And so those who are invested feel better about it, and they begin to spend. And then you saw a GDP report, and Atlanta Fed said that we're about 4% so far and expected to be maybe even as high as 5% in early 2026. And then we have everything else that goes with it. You've got the midterm elections late next year. That's generally both sides think they can win the election. You've got the United States hosting the World Cup in D.C. That's going to be a really cool thing. And, of course, the Packers have a really good shot at winning the Super Bowl, so that should move the market by itself, right?
Yes, absolutely. You got that right. All right, Dave, so we do have a minute here. I have a beautiful new grandson, Theodore John, and my son-in-law is all about making sure they save for college. How does this work? Will every new baby born get $1,000 in an account? How does that work?
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
And one of the girls, I'm sure, are waiting to see Grandma and Grandpa come out and visit, right?
Yes.
And match that $1,000.
Match that $1,000, right. Well, that is really, Julia, that's really part of it, right? So the Trump accounts are going to be $1,000 deposited into accounts. And so, and by the way, speaking of gifts, I'm sure you saw what Michael Dell and his wife said that they were going to give, $6.2 billion. And so they're going to put in $250 to, I think it was about 250,000 people. And so I may be more than that, but a substantial amount of money, $6.2 billion is going to be funded by the Dells. And so that money is going to go into a Trump account, as they're calling it today. And that money gets to grow tax deferred. And then when they get to be 18, they can treat it like an IRA rollover. At least that's what they're telling us today. And maybe even do some Roth conversions and get lifetime tax benefits. So it is a pretty exciting idea. And then, of course, people are invested in what the stock market looks like, and they can do that at a young age.
All right. Hey, Dave, in 1 minute, what should people be focused on right now when it comes to their investments and they think about the end of the year?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of year-end planning, and I'll be quick. But, of course, there's so many tax planning things, guys, that you want to look at. Year-end tax loss harvesting, if you are subject to an RMD, you want to do that. A required minimum distribution. There's Roth conversions you can do. Of course, there's charitable contributions that you may want to do and take advantage of that by the end of the year.
Hey, what happens if you don't take an RMD, like you accidentally miss it? Will it catch up with you?
Yeah, they catch up with you. They don't actually throw you in the hooskow, but they certainly give you a big penalty, and they lowered it from 50% to 25% for what you are supposed to take. So you have to make sure that, indeed, you take that required minimum distribution. And by the way, there's a little planning thing you can do. You can give it into a charity, so you can put these two ideas together.
That's such a great word, hooskow. Dave Spano is the CEO of Annex Wealth Management. Dave, have a really great weekend.
All right, you guys. Talk to you soon. Thank you.